You're listening to the Carnival Cast. Reviews of scary movies, interviews with cool people, and my mommy and daddy.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Of the Conduit Cast, and before I get into yapping on about, I think this episode I'm going to talk about one of my favorite people as of lately, and that's George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM. I'm really enjoying him at nighttime. He's really entertaining, and his guests are sometimes batshit crazy. All in all, it's a pretty good show, so I think I'd like to take this episode to maybe talk about him and some of his guests and just some of the conversations he has, crazy or whatever. It's a lot of conspiracy theories. So anyhow, now before I turn you over to Chris, I actually have a couple of things I want to say. And the first thing is I am so damn excited about the sequel to Thanksgiving. I mean, this is insane. I love the first Thanksgiving, and the second one is going to be epic, I'm sure. Now, for those of you who loved the first one, you can go to Facebook, and they have a link there that you can donate, you know, or pledge, I guess, money towards the film. They're trying to raise $100,000. So for those of you who would love to see this project get off the ground, you know, you can pledge anywhere from, I think the lowest is like maybe $10 or $20, and the highest is, you know, a couple hundred. So even if you only want to put $20 towards it or, you know, something like that, if we all band together, we can get this wonderful sequel, or bequel, as they're calling it, made. Because the first Thanksgiving was just, to me, I know Chris is not a huge fan, but I'm a complete fanboy of that movie. I think it was hilarious. It was everything that I love in a movie. I mean, it was cheesy on purpose, and it was just hilarious. And Jordan Downey, we actually had the pleasure of interviewing him quite some time back, and it was my first interview, and I was awful. I was really, really bad. I was so nervous. And Chris made it very easy. Chris is a pro at this shit, man. He does it so smoothly. He's very impressive. And Jordan really put me at ease, and by the end of the interview, I was okay, but at the beginning, I was just absolutely petrified. So anyhow, now, as much as I'm looking forward to the bequel, there are some rumors of, what is the name of it? Before the Mask, I think they're calling it, a possible sequel to Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. And let me just say, I know the chances are slim to none that any of the people that are working on that are listening, or Scott Glosserman, who actually created it, would be listening. But, you know, if you know them or whatever, please don't do this. I mean, for all the reasons that I want a bequel, because I know Thanksgiving was meant to be campy and goofy, and it was a shoestring budget, and they're trying to take it to the next level. I mean, for all the reasons that I want to see a second Thanksgiving, there are a ton of reasons why I don't want to see a sequel to Behind the Mask, because Behind the Mask, to me, is one of those movies that just cannot be. I mean, it's epic. In my eyes, it's an 11 out of 10. It's everything that I had looked for in a movie. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen. It was smart and funny and witty and just different. I loved the characters. I loved the actors. And the thought of this being made into a sequel is kind of disheartening to me, because I think that I hold the first one on such a pedestal that the second one worries me, because as we all know how sequels are, I mean, let's look at them. There are very few sequels that are actually better than the originals, but anyhow, so yeah, I'm kind of hoping that that one just stays at Behind the Mask, because I think that that movie can't be touched, and it shouldn't be. I think it should just be left alone to bask in its own glory. I also have to give a little shout out to Frank and Mike over at the fearshop.com horror podcast. Oh, those guys crack me up. I love Frank and Mike. I'll tell you what. Those two, Chris and I, have kind of a running thing with them and the movie Blood Knight, The Legend of Mary Hatchet. And Chris and I absolutely hated it. I mean, we hated that movie. And Frank and Mike enjoyed it. I don't know how much they enjoyed it, but I know they enjoyed it. And I have I don't get on Facebook that much anymore because just of limited time, and I was off for like a week, and I came back, and I'll be damned if the first thing I saw wasn't a post on Chris's page from Frank about, I think maybe Lionsgate was releasing Blood Knight. So I was like, really? You know, I just come back, and this is a crap I have to look at. This is a retarded movie again. But I just think that movie was awful, and I love those guys. I really do. I think very highly of both of them, and they have... okay, well, I can't say they have great taste in movies because they like that movie. But they are two really wonderful guys, and the podcast is excellent, and they do such a good job. So even though I have a bone to pick with them on that one, I have a lot of fun with them, and they're both really, really funny and crack me up all the time. So, well, I guess that's enough babbling for right now. So I will be back in a little bit to talk about my new favorite thing, and that is Mr. George Norrie. And I'm going to turn you over to Chris.
Thank you, Michelle. And to everyone listening, welcome to the Conduit Cast. Today we're going to be going through four films for you. First would be 1984's Chud, or Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers. Next would be Yellow Brick Road, which is actually getting its theatrical release coming up here shortly. It's a film that I interviewed the directors quite a while back about and had a opportunity to see, maybe 6-8 months ago at this point, and just thought I'd revisit it here so everybody could kind of have it fresh in their minds. Also going to be talking about the Twin Peaks feature film Fire Walk With Me from 1992, and then I'm going to finish that off with a film that is getting ready to come out, Attack the Block. And just to preface Attack the Block a little bit here, I did not steal this online, torrent it, or whatever the case may be. I'm actually was fortunate enough to receive a legitimate screener of this film a while back, and it's been kind of a dicey situation as to whether or not I'm allowed to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it. So before I get into those four films, I just wanted to take a second to play a voicemail that we got from our good friend Tom. Tom's been on the show before. He did the Italian Horror episode with me. He's a good friend, incredible artist, and also a pretty talented musician to boot. And his website for all things art is artisyourhead.com. And also to kind of give him another plug here, he and his bandmates just recently released a new album. It's called Letters from Your Love, The Madman. And again, the name of the band is The Other Side of Morning. So go ahead and check that out. It's really good stuff. And very thoughtful and instrumentally driven rock. Great vocals, and Tom plays the drums. He's the percussion man in the band. So that being said, let's hear from Tom, and then we'll come back on the other side.
Hello, 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 Conduit Cast, Michelle and Chris. It's your good friend Tom calling in. Had a couple tidbits to add to the really dug the show. Just got done finished listening to it. Chris, I definitely need to look up Begotten. As you know me, that sounds like it'd be right up my alley. You know, I like that weird artsy shit. And Michelle, loved, hey, I'm with you too on the Stephen King thing. I haven't read a book since, so, and I couldn't finish the damn thing. And I actually thought that it was because maybe I just don't like to read anymore. Probably not the case, but yeah, horrible book. I applaud you guys for calling out these big names in horror. You know, this all kind of seems like it came together all at once with Chris's article on Argento, Craven, Carpenter, and what's his fuck. And then Michelle, you know, with you seeing Scream 4, you know. And I more than agree. I've been like this for a long time with those guys, and often wondered why people even talk about them anymore. As I, you know, kind of breeze their movies, you know, I look at these and it's really like, you know, I haven't liked an Argento film since like Opera, 20 some years ago. Romero has got a few films I really like: Monkey Shines, Creepshow, and Martin. Of course, Night of the Living Dead and Day of the Dead. I'm not cool. I don't like Dawn of the Dead. And Wes Craven is definitely a director who I can't believe anybody has given a shit about at all for forever. I look at his credits and it's like, I think I definitely enjoyed the first Nightmare. By the time Scream came out, I already did not give a shit. So when I saw it, I was pleasantly surprised that it was actually really entertaining. Although, once again, it turned into a disappointing franchise. It's funny, like some horror friends of mine, we used to only refer to him as Franchise. So we would never say, oh, Wes Craven. It'd be like, oh, did you hear Franchise is making another movie? Ah, ha, ha, ha. I must say, you know, John Carpenter really probably has made the most of the four films that I actually enjoy, you know. Because I'd have to say I really like Halloween, The Fog. I mean, The Thing is a friggin' masterpiece. Above and beyond anything any of those other guys ever made. Big Trouble in Little China, Christine, and I love They Live. And even though I haven't seen it since whenever it came out, I remembered really liking In the Mouth of Madness. So, yeah, it's interesting, you know, that people still want to jack you guys off when none of them made a movie worth a shit in a really long time. So, just wanted to give a call in, and I hope you guys are great. Happy anniversary on both accounts, and keep it horror. Hope you're good. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Tom. I like how you finished that off with "Let's keep it horror." Wrong show. No, just kidding. I know you know what you're doing, but that's funny. The Fear Shop guys will appreciate that. But yeah, one thing I've always appreciated about Tom, when it comes to everything, but especially genre films, he doesn't wait for other people to voice their opinions before he gives his. You see that a lot, where a lot of people will wait to find out how people feel about a film, and then they'll kind of change and mold their opinions around it. But Tom's actually written a couple of really, really great pieces for theconduitspeaks.com under the guest articles section there. And he, although he has a fondness and a wealth of knowledge when it comes to classic genre film, he also is very appreciative of a lot of the new stuff coming out independently and foreign when it comes to genre filmmaking. So it's always really good to hear from Tom, and he doesn't pull any punches, so thank you again, sir, for that. So I'm recording this, Wednesday, May 25th, and I have to say congratulations to my wife's best friend, Laura, who at 2 o'clock this morning gave birth to her first child, a little girl, Olivia May, and we're all very happy for and proud of you, Mommy, and wanted to say that and give our best to her and her husband. And my son was quite excited to know that that he was going to have a little baby to play with. Hopefully he doesn't get any ideas from from some of the stuff his dad talks about and watches, because little Olivia won't stand a chance. But in any event, it's been a real exciting and joyful week leading up to this, and it's nice to have a chance to celebrate new life. But that being said, we'll move on from celebrating life and get into celebrating death with the first film up, Chud, Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers from 1984. I was 10 when this film came out, and I want to say that I was probably 11 or 12 when I saw it. I saw it on HBO. We had recently gotten cable installed, and for me, HBO was just, you know, the bee's knees. I was finding all kinds of insane horror films on there to watch, and Chud was no exception. Funny thing is, I haven't thought about this movie in forever, but when we did the mega cast, CM Downs, the director of Fetch, had mentioned it as a film that inspired him, and you know, was one of his first big exposures to the horror genre. And so I actually haven't seen this movie since probably the early to mid 90s. And if you don't know, it's essentially centers around a bunch of really strange killings that are happening in New York City. And it points to this group of, I don't know, they're like deformed homeless people. And there's a policeman, a photographer, and his girlfriend who kind of band together along with this this hobo or bum that you know, pretends to know a lot about these creatures. And this kind of oddball team gets together to try and figure out, you know, exactly what's going on and how to take care of it and rectify the situation. So this is one of those films that, you know, you get the really cool, seedy, gritty New York City landscape and environment to kind of feast your eyes on. Because, you know, in the 80s, New York was, you know, trash central, you know, the porn theaters and prostitution and rampant homelessness and drug use and crime. So you have that as the background, and excuse me, I'm not going to be doing much editing here, so you're going to have to forgive my my allergies. It's been a rough season already. So with Chud, you know, going back to it, and like I said, I remember when I watched this the first time and absolutely loving it, and it doesn't hold up, but that doesn't make it a terrible film. I don't know if I'd say nostalgia got me, because I'm not a big nostalgia guy, but it was interesting to see what's been lost in the art of practical makeup effects once again, because the creature design and the gore and violence in this film is obviously all practical, and it's just really fantastic to behold. And if nothing else, yeah, that's what I get nostalgic for, is seeing, you know, moments and violence done practically. And I still had fun with this film. I still enjoyed the kills, but the biggest two things for me, like I said, was just being able to revisit New York City in the 80s and see what a dump it was and what a scary place it could be on all fronts. And then again, just the fun, you know, creature designs and violence and gore. So I'm going to give Chud a 5 out of 10, And with that, we'll move on to 2010's Yellow Brick Road. As I said previously, that I'd had a chance to talk to the directors about 6-8 months ago, and now Yellow Brick Road is going to be getting a theatrical release via Bloody Disgusting Selects and AMC Theaters. So I just wanted to kind of remind everybody that it's out there. And the story itself, it really hinges on this tale of a New England town known as Fryer in New Hampshire in 1940, where 572 people walked into the woods, left behind their clothes and money, and no one really knows why they did this. Search party goes in, they find 300 of the evacuees dead, many of them frozen to death and slaughtered. And you fast forward to present day, and you have a professor and his wife and his mentor who gather together a team, and they want to go back to Fryer and walk the path that these people walked and research and figure out what the hell happened, what kind of awful things befell this town. And I can't really say enough about this film. It definitely, it goes in a direction, and especially with the title of Yellow Brick Road, that's what the path inevitably becomes named. And it's a film that you don't want to give really much at all away. But at the same time, this group of people who go into the woods, needless to say, things just go to shit. But there are elements of this film that I had never seen cinematically before. So for in terms of originality, it's just absolutely off the charts with that. The ending is, well, ending, I would say the the last third of the film is really tough to wrap your head around sometimes, but it's also one of those experiences that leads you to revisit, recount, and reevaluate things that you've just seen. The first time I watched this, I know that, again, with it being called Yellow Brick Road, there was a moment in the film, it was pretty gruesome, pretty violent, and I got really excited thinking, oh, they're going to do this, they're going to put a twist on The Wizard of Oz, and this is going to be fucking intense. And it goes there, and it doesn't go there. Sorry to be vague, but I have to. And the first time I watched it, I was disappointed that it didn't go there. But again, like I said, as I got to thinking and really stewing over everything, I understood why. And I understood and appreciated why, as independent filmmakers, Jesse Holland and Andy Mitten chose a different path. And it works. So I would highly recommend Yellow Brick Road. I'm not a big going to the theater guy, but if you want to check out online, find out through Bloody Disgusting Selects and also Yellow Brick Road, where and when it may be playing in your area. This is one that would be neat because you don't really get an opportunity to see these kind of films on the big screen. So that's 2010's Yellow Brick Road. I'm going to give it a solid 9 out of 10. And I'm going to take a quick break, come back with Fire Walk With Me and Attack the Block. But first, we're going to hear from our dear friend and my partner, Michelle.
It's a horrorcore podcast. Now, this is a show that I totally dig. He reminds me a lot of myself when I did the Midnight Podcast, but he just has more balls. It just makes for a better show.
There's this guy who does the show called Horrorcore. His name is Bart. Man, he lets it out you know, like it is. He's really straightforward, a really straightforward fucking reviews on film. Really fucking fun show. Really just out there, honest dude.
The Horrorcore podcast. That one I like in particular because, needless to say, it's a very open and honest show, and I like that. Bart pulls no punches and definitely shares his views and opinions, and they're well informed, and he's also a great listener. And then
the Horrorcore podcast, I've checked it out. I've listened to at least the first two episodes, and I'll continue on. And that's from Bart over there at Horrorcore podcast. Man, this guy is an opinionated son of a bitch, man. And I mean that in the most positive way. He definitely doesn't approach podcasting the way I do. He is opinionated, and he's not afraid to give you his opinion, and that's what makes listening to that podcast so enjoyable.
Horrorcorepodcast.blogspot.com.
Well, now you see what you want to be. Just have your party on TV, because the man from Mars won't beat up balls where the TV's on. Now he's gone back up to space, where he won't have a half. And hip hop, and don't stop, just blast off, sure shot. Cause the man from Mars stopped eating cars and eating bars, and now he only eats guitars. Yeah.
Okay, guys, I am back to flap my gums about my man George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM. But before I do that, I wanted to bring up a couple things that I actually skipped over in the intro section. And one, after my last segment, my hate letter, or whatever you want to call it, to Wes Craven. Yes, I'm talking to you, Mr. Craven, if you're listening. I have a way you can redeem yourself. I've decided that you need to back the filmmakers of Thanksgiving. And then I will forgive you, and I won't ask you for my money back. For Cursed and My Soul to Take and Scream 4 and The Gas and everything else. So if you donate, I'm sure the fans would really appreciate it, and we would once again redeem you so you can retire and step out of the limelight and give people that are actually talented your money. And attach your name to it as an executive producer or something. That's fine. I will accept that. So, yeah. Why don't you get on that and maybe go over there and click on, and that way you could give Jordan and Kevin the $100,000 they need. You would redeem yourself, maybe, in my eyes, as long as you stay out of the horror genre, other than attaching your name to great things. So, yeah. Hopefully you'll take my advice and this will get underway, but I doubt it, because you don't really freaking care what any of us horror fans think, obviously, or you would have quit making movies a long time ago. Alright, well, I don't even want to go down that road again, because I'm already getting irritated. So, the other thing I wanted to say was, it is actually 1 o'clock in the morning on May 22nd, and I'm still here, and everybody else I know is still here. So to the Fruit Loops who are running around hollering the 21st was rapture and the end of the world, haha. Either you weren't saved, or you're an idiot, one or the other. Either way, you're screwed, and you're stuck here for however much longer with the rest of us, okay? I mean, these end-of-the-world predictions get so old. Now we're going to have to deal with 2012, because that was the predominant thing until this goofball came out and said it was the 21st. I mean, yes, I believe in God, and I'm, you know, I have my beliefs and everything, but I really don't believe that we're going to know, you know, he put, like, a date in the Bible, or, you know, well, it's going to be this day at this time. I mean, if it is, whatever, but today went off without a hitch, and... You know, the poor sap who predicted this, is he going to come back in another 15 years? You know, he predicted it in 94 and it didn't happen, and now all of a sudden he's back again. I mean, is this really? Do you have nothing else better to do? I mean, maybe next time you should kind of keep this to yourself. Because I don't know if I should feel bad for the people who went out and sold everything that they owned to run around the country and spread the word, quote-unquote. I'm doing quotey fingers, if you can picture that, while I'm doing spread the word, quotey fingers. Yeah, suckers. I mean, I guess there's a sucker born every minute, but, and I don't know for any of you who watch Supernatural, I know my girl Stacy does. Hi, Stacy. And, she's the one who hooked me on it. And I'm sure there's lots of other people who do, but holy shit, the finale was heartbreaking. The first one that was on where, well, I guess I shouldn't say too much because for those who haven't watched it, the DVR'd it or something, I don't want to spoil it, but the one that aired at 8 o'clock and the end of it with Dean and Lisa and Ben, I was crying my eyes out. Okay, I didn't watch this till I got home from work, so like 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm just bawling my eyes out like an idiot. And the second part was insane. Oh, I don't know what's going on with Cass, but lordy, now we have to wait till September again. But for those of you who really would like to start watching the show, now's a really, really good time because they just wrapped up the end of season 5 on Friday and aired the pilot on Friday. So Monday the 23rd at 10 a.m. and then also at 11 they'll have, you know, they have 2 episodes in a row. So if you want to start watching, I guess I don't know when Chris is going to air this, so I'll probably be a couple days late. But regardless, you can kind of catch the best parts of season 1 because it really starts to take hold around Scarecrow. And that's where the show really took hold for me, Scarecrow and Faith and a bunch of other ones. But those were the two that really cemented my love for the show. Scarecrow was definitely the one. So if you like, you know, kind of like the horror stories, they have all kinds of stuff and a really great looking car, 67 Chevy Impala. Excellent classic rock. It was just a good mishmash of great things. So if you want to check that series out, definitely check out TNT. Between 10 and 12, and you can start watching pretty much from the beginning. And keep in mind that once you, you know, watch, they go through seasons 1 through 5, and then they loop it all over again. So if you miss a couple in the beginning, once it loops around, you can catch the ones that you missed. So now to go into talking about George Norrie, and Art Bell is another great guy that's on Coast to Coast AM. Now, the website is coasttocoastam.com. And you can become a Coast to Coast Insider where you pay, like I just became a member for a year, and you can download old MP3s like a year back, and they also have archives that go way back you can listen to, but you can't download those. But I blundered across George because I listen to talk radio, because they play the same crap, even on Sirius. I mean, we have Sirius at work, and I listen to George there at night, but we have Sirius at work, and I generally stick to Classic Rewind or Classic Vinyl or The Bridge, and they still rotate the same things. I mean, it's really frustrating to kind of hear the same thing even on that those channels. You know, there's such a huge library of stuff they could be playing. Oh, and I like The Boneyard too. That's pretty good. But the disc jockeys really annoy the shit out of me because I like the fact that you don't have commercials and stuff with Sirius, but I also would like to not have any DJs because I just want to hear the music. I don't want to hear these people talking about stupid shit. Anyhow, on Sirius or XM, oh, we have XM, I'm sorry. I'm not sure what Sirius channel would be, but on XM, George is on channel 168 from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. And generally what happens is from 10 to 1, they replay the episode from the previous night. So if you missed it, because I can't listen to him every night, I have to share the radio, damn it. So if you missed anything, you can listen to it, and then you listen to the new show starting at 1 o'clock, and 1 o'clock to 4. But anyhow, once I started working this late shift, I'd drive home, and it would be on the talk radio station, my radio in the car, and I started hearing these really odd conversations, like stuff that I'd kind of like, you know? And it really piqued my interest, so I don't have a really long drive home, but I try to listen to it as much as I can, and I started to get really hooked on this Coast to Coast. And then Tom from Facebook, he sent me a few MP3s that he has that Art Bell did with the Ghost Investigator Society, the GIS. These are a couple years old, I think maybe from 2007. They have EVPs on there, and holy shit! Okay, I'm gonna see if I can possibly, I don't know if I can at this time because I haven't downloaded any of my clips for this yet, but I'm going to try to pepper some clips in throughout this segment because I'd like to play maybe a couple of the EVPs that they had on there because they were really freaking scary.
Fine, let's go ahead and play it. Let's do the setup here.
All right, now what you're going to hear is Barbara saying, but he was by himself when he got that voice. He wasn't in that room. And she's just referring to a voice that we had recorded earlier. And then you hear me say, oh, okay. And then you hear a woman say, why can't they shut up?
Ha-ha. Alrighty.
But he was by himself when he got that voice. He wasn't in that room.
I heard it. Oh, that one was great.
Now, I did go to the GIS website, and I will say that they have a few EVPs that have been sent in by other people, and there is one that I was so scared to click on. It said something like, "I am your worst nightmare. I watch you when you sleep." And it was supposed to be this little boy. So I was so scared, and of course I clicked it because I had to hear it. Hey, it was so fake. I was like, okay, really? I mean, really, they couldn't tell it was that fake? It was awful. So I was kind of bummed because I was waiting to be petrified, because ghosts and stuff like that scare the freaking crap out of me. I've been in a haunted house myself once when I was younger, and I was always skeptical until it happened to me, and I was never so afraid in my life. But also, on the other spectrum, I was afraid, but I was curious, so I went back in to see what else I could experience. So it was like curiosity would definitely kill my ass, because I was definitely curious about it, and I still am. Anyhow, George talks about all kinds of different stuff. I mean, he's talked about Bigfoot and astral projection and what they call, instead of prayer, it's like mass consciousness, I think. Exorcisms. He had a special this weekend on the whole rapture thing, and it was funny because I was listening tonight, and it was a repeat of last night. I was listening tonight on this guy who used to be an atheist, and he was saying how this must have been last night that the show aired on the 20th, and he was saying that, you know, he's an atheist until he read the Bible, and then he started to realize that, you know, everything points to the 21st, and he is sure that it's going to happen, and yada, 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 and yeah, guess what, buddy? I'm sure you're still there looking like an ass. So, yeah, that was kind of neat. And he just has a huge variety of stuff. The other day, there were some crazy guests on. There was one talking about DARPA, which is a some kind of time travel experiment from back in the 60s. And he supposedly went through this and traveled all over the place and, you know, saw past events. And I was like, really rolling my eyes at work. I was like, okay, yeah, sure, buddy. But, I mean, not to discredit anybody, but there's just some shit that I just can't swallow. I am a conspiracy theorist all day long. I really am. But most of my conspiracy theories involve things like the government working against us, because I'm really suspicious of the government and things like that. Oh, well, just to jump on the website, too, I just went to coasttocoastam.com. Now, here are some upcoming shows. Reincarnation, Journey to Heaven, Parapsychology, Earth Files Reports, Student Loan Scam. We'll go back to, let me click on a link here. I'm doing this while I'm recording this podcast. I'll click on the link for the archives and kind of go to other subjects that they have. Here's kind of the list of the categories. Okay, we have alternative history and conspiracies, alternative medicine and health, the ancient world, artwork, comics, and multimedia, creatures, myths, and legends, which is fascinating. That's another subject I love. And then we have current events and economy, extraterrestrials, miscellaneous, mysteries and anomalies, nature, environment, and earth changes, pop culture, prophecy and predictions. Now, that's another one I like. And the next one, psychology and mind. They had a guy on that was a PSYOPs guy a little bit back, once Osama bin Laden was killed, and he was kind of on talking about a couple different things. I think that's fascinating, too. Science, space, and technology, spirituality and occult, which is another one. And the next one, supernatural and paranormal, are two of my favorites. And we have UFOs and aerial phenomena, and weird and bizarre. It's kind of cool. You can go on there, and I think you don't, I'm not positive now, I think that you can maybe listen to the show without being a member. You just can't download anything. I'm not positive, because once I got on the website, I just clicked on member. So you may be able to go and catch up, and yet that's a good place to also go and see where he's playing in your area. Now, in the Pittsburgh area, he is on channel 104.7, and that's from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. So I definitely think it is a good thing for people who are curious about different subjects, or like sometimes these are entertaining. Like the one guy, there was a guy on that was talking about astral projection, and his theory was, he was talking about nightmares, and his theory was that nightmares were us actually astral projecting to another plane. I have to think if I remember this right, because it was so confusing. So we astral project to another spiritual plane. Nightmares are a lack of police on this astral plane. So I guess when you're astral projecting, there should be cops out there? I mean, I don't know. But he was talking about when he was astral projecting that his dead dog came to him and he could feel its fur. And I'm like, okay, if you're astral projecting, how do you feel anything? I mean, really? Like, that didn't make any sense to me. But sometimes I do wind up rolling my eyes and be like, oh, okay. But a lot of times it really piques my interest, especially when they do about the creatures and stuff and legends and definitely the paranormal. Like I said, the GIS is... Some of the EVPs are so incredibly horrifying that... I don't know. I'd completely freak out to think if I'd be investigating this stuff and then hear the shit played back. I'd probably have a damn heart attack. Now, also, with my fascination with exorcisms, and let me say this, okay, my husband's always telling me, because what I did was I downloaded the MP3s for Coast to Coast, and I don't have a lot of time at home to listen to them because I'm always doing something not in the same room. And I downloaded a bunch of stuff, and the shows that Tom sent me with the EVPs, and listened to them going to work. Let me tell you, I was listening to this crap in the daylight, and it scared the pants off of me, and I was listening to it on the way home one night, and I always check my back seat. It's like a habit. Everybody makes fun of me, but let me tell you, I will not be the person who has their throat slit going down the road because some psycho is in the back seat, because I always, always check my back seat and my hatch every single night. So, and we're kind of in like a secluded, like a little wooded area, so you never know what's out there. So I always check my back seat, and I'm driving home, and I knew there was nothing back there, but I had like a bag of cat food, I think, or something in the hatch, and we have a Durango, so you have the set of back seats fold down, so you have like a flat surface back there, and the bag of cat food was like moving around back in the hatch and rustling and stuff. And I'm listening to these EVPs, and I was so scared, I actually thought somebody, like, somehow magically had appeared in the back and was waiting to kill me. I had to shut the radio off. I was so scared. But my husband, when I was telling him, you know, what I was listening to, and he's like, you know, he is a firm believer that even listening to this stuff, you drag something around. Well, I just scoffed at that. Well, after I started listening to these things, I had, like, two really bad days at work to where I burnt stuff up, which I never burn anything at work. Burnt stuff up, messed up my bread dough. And then my vehicle started breaking down. So I thought to myself, at this point I had started to put in Exorcist MP3s that I had downloaded on CD. And they were just getting to some audio clips of these exorcisms. And I wound up taking it out of the vehicle because I was so paranoid at that point. I'm like, well, maybe there's something to this and I shouldn't listen to it for a while because I had a seriously bad stroke of luck. I know that's maybe just being paranoid, but it was a little too much of a coincidence. So anyhow, I didn't get to listen to the full exorcism yet. I'm trying to get enough nerve to, because that's something that really scares the bejesus out of me and fascinates me at the same time. So I think I might have to listen to that at home and try to calm myself down afterwards, watch something fluffy and light afterwards, like SpongeBob or something. I'll have to watch, try to clear my brain. Like I said, for those of you who are into these different areas and just like a different, I mean, every night it's a different subject. And even though sometimes we may think they're silly, man, these people really believe. Oh, there was another guy on the other day who was talking about, he was a ghost investigator, and then he believes in multiverses and the portals and all kinds of stuff, and oh man, he was going on and on. I was like, okay, he kind of lost me there because he was really getting into some crazy shit, but talking about the good world and him and his son are warriors and I don't know, all kinds of stuff that I was just like, wow, that was the first time I ever really heard that. But at least it's entertaining and it's something different, and sometimes I learn things and sometimes I get the shit scared out of me, which I love. I love when I'm terrified, and sometimes I laugh, you know, so it's all around good thing to check out. I also wanted to talk a little bit about, I should say, my disappointment in a movie. I've been waiting for a flick. It's called La Casa Muda, and it's The Silent House. Perry Teo first posted about it maybe 6 or 8 months ago. It's been a long time. It's been a really long time, and the trailer looked excellent for this film. So I've been waiting. I know the DVD comes out in I think it is July, and I have my eBay guy on it. I was like, man, as soon as this thing comes out, you've got to give me a copy, you know, and then I'll get it from you. So I'm waiting so I can buy this copy of this. And I was flicking through my on-demand the other day just to see what's going on in the horror section, if there was anything interesting. And I'll be damned if it wasn't on there. So I rented that sucker. It was last weekend. Rented it, and I was so excited, and I was so bummed out when it was done. Like, I really hate when that happens. I mean, really, really are really looking forward to something. Now, I know I'm a very, very hard person to please anymore with horror. It's, I don't mean to be so hard to please, but, you know, the amount of stuff that I've watched, and it really takes a lot to scare me and get me really emotional. And when that's achieved, I'm so happy because I love to be terrified. And this, I think, movie would probably scare people that are just like casual horror watchers, maybe. It was suspenseful, but the story at the end just didn't make any sense. I mean, it did, but it didn't. And at the point it went to get there, didn't make any sense. There was a couple scenes where it was like, well, this really doesn't fit once you get to the end. Supposedly it's based on a true story. I mean, I haven't researched the story, but yeah, I was really, really bummed with that one. So I'm kind of bumming because I haven't been able to really watch a lot of horror. So I was really hoping that that would be the first thing I've watched in a while, and it would really be epic, and it just really kind of fell flat for me. So I was kind of bumming about that. I think tonight, I'm off the next two nights, so I am going to try like hell to get in I Saw the Devil. I've heard a lot of really good things about this one, and I've had it for a week now waiting on me to pop it into the DVD player, and I think I will do that, hopefully this weekend. I guess that's it for now. That's enough babbling for one night, because I am done with my work shift, and I'm ready to go to bed now. All this talking has made me tired. So I still don't know what I'm going to talk about for the next episode. It's always up in the air at this point because I'd like to talk about movies, but like I said, I don't always get them in. And as much as I would love to talk about I Saw the Devil, I know a lot of people are reviewing that, so I'll just steer clear of that one. Well, I guess I'll see in a week or two what the hell is new and fascinating me at that time, because it's always changing. So thanks for listening to me yap a little bit about good old George and art, and I hope you enjoy the review, and have a good one.
Gobble gobble, motherfucker! Now that's what I call foul play.
Thank you, Michelle, once again, for that great segment, and also wanted to thank Horrorcore Bart for sending over that little promo clip. If you guys aren't checking out the Horrorcore podcast, you're missing out, as you could hear from a variety of different people. Bart definitely tells it like it is, and it's a fun podcast. There's a lot of good insight and a lot of brutality and venom, which is always refreshing. So, excuse me, check that out. And I'm going to get into Twin Peaks: Fire Walk With Me from 1992, directed, of course, by David Lynch. It had been a really long time also since I had seen any of the Twin Peaks, and since Netflix is streaming them, I went back and started watching them, and that got me curious about Fire Walk With Me again, so I revisited that. And of course it takes place in the town of Twin Peaks and involves Laura Palmer and her life and subsequent murder, whereas the series itself takes place after Laura has been killed and all the strange goings on in Twin Peaks. This is a prequel of sorts, and cuts to the chase as to what was going on during the last week of Laura's life. She's got two boyfriends, Bobby and James. Bobby is a nut, and James is, you know, the quiet, more stable guy. But the big thing with Laura is that she has a serious drug addiction, and her outward appearance and front that she presents is very different than what's lurking underneath. Her father, played by Ray Wise, who's always fantastic, is really kind of the wild card in this whole story. You're not really sure exactly what's going on with him or where his intentions lie. And, you know, common with most all of David Lynch's work, it's very confusing. It's very meta. And there's a ton of really strange, crazy, subliminal, psychological, psychedelic, and sexual stuff going on here. I'd encourage you, if you're not really familiar with Twin Peaks, to check out the two seasons that are streaming on Netflix. And I also feel like, even though Fire Walk With Me is a prequel, that it's best viewed, in my opinion, after you watch the season, the first two seasons, and then it's really cool to kind of go back and see this this story leading up to it. And although his role is smaller in Fire Walk With Me, the real star of the first two seasons, the only two seasons of Twin Peaks, is Kyle MacLachlan's agent Cooper. He's just fantastic, really twisted, really funny, really enjoyable. You know, Fire Walk With Me, 7 out of 10. There's a lot of weird stuff in it, a lot of weird stuff, but it's definitely worth a watch. And on that note, I'm going to finish up with 2011's Attack the Block. This is the one that, you know, is getting a lot of hype and a lot of steam behind it. I was fortunate enough to be given the opportunity to see this legally. However, I guess in some ways was asked to keep my lips sealed, but as it nears closer to release and has nailed down its distribution, I'm going to talk about it. And it does not star, but features everybody's favorite British overweight zombie, Mr. Nick Frost of Shaun of the Dead fame. But the story itself really centers around a group of kids who are growing up in the streets of South London. And, you know, they're what you would call, I guess, a gang. Deep down, they're good kids, though. This film was just something that I had genuinely been looking forward to for a while, and it did not disappoint. You know, the tag for the film is Inner City versus Outer Space. It's a it's an action, sci-fi, horror, comedy type of film. It's a wonderful mixed bag. The kids who play the gang members are just brilliant. There's been a lot of talk of, you know, the movie should have subtitles because their accents are so thick. I didn't really have a problem with it. Nick Frost is hilarious. He brings a lot of levity to the story. But again, the real stars are the kids. When outer space invades inner city, it is just fun. It is balls to the wall. It's witty. It's smart. This film is absolute perfection to me, and I think I described it at one point as Monster Squad on steroids, because it really is. I mean, you don't have the full gamut of the universal monsters at play there, but you have an absolutely amazing alien life form that just rips shit up. And the real fun thing about this is, and not to draw too many comparisons to it, but with Shaun of the Dead, who the director here, Joe Cornish, was involved with as well, he has that sense about him and that reverence for the genre, where when you mix and mold genres like this, sometimes certain aspects of it get lost or it gets really ham-fisted. But with this, you have, as I said with Monster Squad, you have the unity and bond that the kids have, but you also have just that rough and tumble South London edge with the real visceral sci-fi and horror. I mean, there's some good gore and gru in this film, and it's just, it's a blast from beginning to end. There's not one wasted moment, one wasted character, one wasted moment of dialogue, violence, action. The creature design is fucking out of this world, and when this movie comes out, blind buy it. If it gets a theatrical release, I don't care if you have to pay $30 to go see it. It's worth it. And this may very well turn out to be my film of the year. It's just that much fun and that cool. So with that being said, we will return not too long from now. If you would like to drop us a voicemail, as Tom did, you can do so at 206-339-1819. Visit us over at theconduitspeaks.com. There's all kinds of content there, articles, reviews, rants, some lists. You can find the Conduit Cast over there as well. And other than that, I just want everybody to take good care, and we'll see you next time. Bye.